Six music. Tonight from midnight, Don Letts. Right now, Rob Hughes in for Guy Garvey.
Rob Hughes. Through the Pines.
Nine or six eyes, I got a garbage brain that's driving me insane. And I don't like the ride, so push the best aside. And baby, I won't care, cause baby, I don't scare. Cause I'm a reborn maggot using gym warfare. Rock.
The Cramps and Human Fly, some classic psychobilly there from 1979, produced by the mighty Alex Chilton, no less. Rob Hughes in for Guy Garvey for 1 week only, and all sorts of stuff coming up. As the usual archive items, we've got the Buzzcocks' first Peel session, as requested by their guitarist and founder member, Steve Diggle, and plenty of memories going on there, including writing certain songs under a dodgy shelf in his bedroom. Plus, we'll be having evergreen punk legend Vic Goddard on the blower, talking about the new Subway Sect album, the first in 8 years, which is called We Come As Aliens. And also there's plenty of new stuff, including a guy from Brooklyn called Hans Chu, who is a honky-tonk piano player for the band D. Charles Spear and the Helix, and was also at the sometime piano player of the late great Jack Rose, and played on albums like the Black Dirt Sessions and Luck in the Valley. So Hans Chu lives in Brooklyn. Just released his first solo album called Tennessee and Other Stories, and it's a kind of wonderful, wonderful piece that's sort of part funk, part gospel, part blues, a bit of jazz, a bit of folk, everything in there, including this tune, which is called Old Monteagle and Muscadine.
Inside the barn, and I can't hear in the briar, black alongside old Mariah. And old Miss Cunningham died last night, whistling old Paul White. Just a piece past 59, old Mont Eagle and Muscadine. And I can't be
I'll stand corrected. Old Monteagle and Muscadine, of course, from Hans Chew, in brackets Tennessee Part 1 from the album Tennessee and Other Stories, which is out now on Three Lobed Records and Divide by Zero Recordings. So it's just kind of really wonderful, and it was recommended by somebody who I, well, a colleague of mine at Uncut Magazine, and I've not stopped playing it since. And now then, from Atlanta, from the new album Halcyon Digest, this is Deer Hunter. Well, it's just great. It's Deer Hunter and Revival from the album Halcyon Days. I think Revival is the single as well. Out now on 4AD. Now then, listeners of a certain age may well remember this fondly.
views
on Six Music.
Okay, contestant number two, do you have the answers?
No, I don't.
I was walking on the water when I saw a crocodile. He had daisies in his hat, so I stopped him for a while. Me a message, a massage to soothe my stage. What it was more than plug, a dosage more than Daisy A's. Conversation through a rule, which the crowd will roar by millions. The crocodile said, Dove, you must look for now the villains. Try to hold you underwater, but one thing we all must heed. Sony Walkmans keep us walking, De La Soul can help you breathe when you tread water. Walked along my journey, I thought, what have I just learned? In a flash, I saw commotion. There was movement in these ferns. Silently, the silence came. Was it the end of my world? I shouted out in fear, who's there? It's me, said Mr. Squirrel. I've searched for you all over. Now you're found, no time to waste. We must find the preacher man. We must find the PA mace. For my population's dying, and we're all in tune to doom. Like your daisy, I need water, I need chestnuts to consume. Mr. Squirrel, I said, I'm sorry, but the problem can't be solved. If there's no one here to help, and no one to get involved. Always look to the positive, and never drop your head. For the water will engulf us, if you do not dare to tread. So let's tread water. Tread water. Now one weary day I woke, my alarm said plug time's up. Spilt my bath up with the water, goggled with my goggle cup. As I bathe, I felt a presence, and I'm sort of ticklish. I looked down and then around, and I heard, hi, I'm Mr. Fish. How do you do? As for me, I'm in tip-top shape today. Cause my water's clean, and no one's menu says fresh fish fillet. See, I look past all my worries, which is something you must do. Throw your fed up, throw your head up with this advice from me to you, and that's to tread water. As the day went unexplained, time was finding nothing fun. As I walked along the sidewalk, I heard, excuse me, plug one, from my soul, they lied, that is. I hollered, yes, are you talking to me? No alarming, he said, let me introduce myself, I'm Mr. Monkey. Mr. Monkey, I've let you slap a five, now how does your problem meet? He said, my bananas are at their ripest, but they all stand at 3 feet. My swinging hand is bandaged up, could you help me with this chore? I brought him down to the native shop and brought him copies of the De La Soul, which assisted well in his elevation. Now all bananas was at his grasp. He decided with this accomplished, he would put me onto the path. He told me to live by the inner sound, y'all, which would bring me health and showbiz. Then to use them, not abuse them, and remember the word that got me to him, and that is the tread water.
Well, Paul Heaton revived my interest in De La Soul some weeks ago when I did the Parallel Universe with him on Mark Riley's programme, and he was saying how much of an influence they were. And also, and I was slightly startled to discover, he said that he used to style himself on that classic look that they had from 1988, which I find hard to believe because I think he was in the beautiful South at that time. And before that, regular listeners to Guy's show will easily recognise the Vision On theme, otherwise known as Accroche Toi Caroline by Claude Vasseur, which is part of a compilation on DeWolf music called Top Dog, which is a retrospective of classic TV and radio themes 1960 to 82, and there's Vision On and Rhubarb and great stuff besides, like Monty Python's Flying Circus, George and Mildred even, and Farmhouse Kitchen, and less notably, well, less spectacular I suppose, Johnny Dankworth scores for things like Delia Smith's Cookery Course and Henry's Cat, which I remember with fondness as well, but also Man About the House. Now then, there's a guy called Jim Sullivan. I'll tell him about him very shortly, well, after this. This is Jim Sullivan and UFO.
Thank you.
His daddy's got a bang that's a hard to beat. I bought me a ticket, got a front row seat. I'm checking out the show with a glassy eye, looking at the sun dancing through the sky. Did he come by UFO? Chicks are full in the book I read. Only man I know that got up from the dead. A lot of people living by the words that I said. I'm checking out the show with a glassy eye, looking at the sun dancing through the sky. Did he come by UFO? Think he'll ever come again a different way? Maybe he is coming all hours away. Too much goodness is a sin today. I'm checking out the show with a glassy eye, looking at the sun dancing through the sky. Did he come by UFO? Just a little different than a previous year. I think the happiness is getting very near. I'm checking out the show with a glassy eye, looking at the sun dancing through the sky. Did he come by UFO? Did he come by UFO?
It's Jim Sullivan and UFO from the album of the same name, recorded in 1969, and currently it'll be about to reissued on the Light in the Attic imprint out of Seattle. Recorded the album with various members of Phil Spector's Wrecking Crew, including Don Randy and Jimmy Bond. Jim Sullivan was an interesting character. He had a big part in Easy Rider. He performed on the Jose Feliciano show in the late 60s, and he was sort of on one of these characters who was always on the edge of fame. He certainly had the talent. UFO is a great album. And he had a few connections as well. And basically what happened was he released one album, UFO, released another a couple of years later, two or three years later, and then decided, because it wasn't happening for him, he'd head off to Nashville and try and make his fortune there. A few people had suggested that was a place to go. And that was in sometime in March 1975. And basically nobody ever saw him again. And there are various kind of ideas about what happened to Jim Sullivan. It is known that he landed in a place called Santa Rosa in New Mexico on the way, and that was the last anybody ever saw of him. There are tales of him falling foul to various kind of rogue cops, or there was a local family with alleged mafia ties. Various kind of strange and interesting and sort of tragic stories. And I think Light in the Attic are hoping, and his family is certainly hoping, that the reissue of UFO is going to kind of spark fresh interest in Jim, certainly in the music, because it deserves it, and maybe it might shed some light on what exactly happened to him. But anyway, well worth discovering, which is out very shortly. From my favourite album, coming up shortly too, after this, some John Grant.
BBC Six Music.
Steve Lamacq. New music from the week's new favourite band.
One of our favourites from South by Southwest. This was one of them, the band White Denim.
New releases reviewed on Roundtable.
Join us in the chat room, our little jury room composed of listeners. Everyone and anyone is welcome to take part.
New bands on Six Unsigned.
And so we're going to be playing at the Glastonbury Festival this year. Six Music Unsigned features Golden Silvers.
Steve Lamacq. Weekdays from 4.
BBC Six Music.
Six Music. Rob Hughes.
On Six Music. Six Music.
Seen anything like this before?
Well, it is John Grant. I kind of finished mid-sentence, really, from my favourite album of the year thus far, I think. John Grant's Queen of Denmark. And from that, that is Outer Space, just lovely stuff. Now then, way back in 1951, Hank Williams, at the peak of his career, incredibly recorded various 15-minute radio shows for the Mother's Best Flower Company. And 72 of those shows have survived, and Time Life is currently in the process of reissuing them all in a huge 15-CD box with a bonus DVD. And so you'd get sort of, you know, Hank doing the premiere of songs like Cold, Cold Heart. And in between that, you'd have some extremely corny adverts for bread, no pun intended. And I have been sent, not the entire box set yet, but I've been sent a sampler of the whole thing. And it's called Hank Williams, The Complete Mother's Best Recordings Plus. And this is him doing A Mansion on the Hill.
Here's an awful sad story to start off with this morning. All about that boy down in the valley looking up at that big mansion up on the hill with tears in his eyes. Mansion on the hill. Tonight down here in the valley, I'm lonesome and oh, how I feel. As I sit here alone in my cabin, I can see your mansion on the hill. Call when we parted, the story to me you revealed. You said you could live without love, dear, in your loveless mansion on the hill.
Right now, listen to Cousin Louis Buck. He's got some awful good, important biscuit news for you, huh?
Biscuit news is correct. For the flour that gives you perfect biscuits every time, just ask for Mother's Best. Yes, indeed, ladies, Mother's Best flour is the surefire way to get delicious, delightful hot biscuits every time. And, of course, that goes for rolls, for bread, for pie crust, for cake, for anything you want to bake. Why? Because Mother's Best is the highest quality flour, sifted many extra times for extra fine...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It goes on like that for a long, long time, believe me. And then, as if to cap things off after such a stunning tune, Hank's then-wife Audrey Williams, who famously could not sing but thought she could... joins the Drifting Cowboys for a couple of tunes. It's just incredible stuff that such groundbreaking music could be soundtracked by what was, you know, pretty awful advert for a local bread company. And now then, to the archive, now from Peel Real Session, as requested by Steve Diggle of Buzzcocks. I was talking to him recently, and he says, there was always this thing, he says, where we'd do three songs at a Peel session, and there was always one which we'd rehearse, but hadn't really got down properly yet. So we'd have two we'd play well, then one we weren't quite sure how it went. One of the other memorable things about those sessions was that Malcolm Brown, who was the producer, came back very drunk one day. He said he'd had a load of Guinness, and it was a wonderful moment when he came in, hardly able to speak. He was saying, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" That part of the eccentricity was great. You'd be instantly sacked for that now, but it was sort of thing you could get away with back then. And Steve says, "I think we did Fast Cars on the first Peel session we did," which is true. That was special for me because I'd sat and written that at home, then met Pete Shelley and Howard Devoto after that. It's the opening track on the first album, so playing that on Peel was a big, big moment. I mean, he says, "I sat on my bed and wrote that. I've been listening to John Peel for years. Now suddenly I was doing it on the Peel show, and there was that whole thing about travelling down there, probably in a transit van, to do the session from the little box room I was in with a little tape machine by the wall. I'm surprised it didn't kill me, really, because I used to sleep underneath the shelf with raw plugs hanging out. Blimey. It was mind-blowing, really," says Steve. "Through this song, my whole life changed." And this is recorded for John Peel in September 1977, The Buzzcocks and Fast Cars. Recorded for Peel on the 7th of September 1977. That is Buzzcocks, their first ever session for Peel, and Fast Cars, requested by Steve Diggle of Buzzcocks. And a couple more coming up later on in the show. Now then, this is new from the album Invariable Heartache. This is Kurt Wagner and Courtney Tidwell.
Where you been? Where you been? It's the same old question again. What's the use, baby? What's the use?
Oh, they're never gonna turn us loose.
You got dirt all over your face.
Oh, and your lips get way out of place.
We're gonna tell them what we tell them every time before. You're gonna leave us alone. Every time we've been busy making merries and picking wild.
Gorgeous. That's Kurt Wagner and Courtney Tidwell and Picking Wild Mountain Berries. The single is out on the 8th of November from the album Invariable Heartache, which is 12 re-recordings of very obscure old songs from the roster of Chart Records, which was a label founded in Nashville by Courtney Tidwell's grandfather. And both her parents, including her mother, who was called Connie Eaton, were among the were involved in the label. Her mother, in fact, was one of the singers. One of her songs is covered on the album itself. So there's nothing really to compare the tunes to, because they're all quite obscure, but they're really wonderful, forgotten gems. Now then, a few weeks ago, me and Riley were kind of discussing Killing Joke's 80s and its kind of familiarity to Come As You Are by Nirvana, or the other way around, actually, because obviously 80s came first. But before that, there was The Damned and this.
All gone wrong, go on
From 1982, The Damned and Life Goes On, a wonderful piece of work, and proved that they could write really killer pop songs. Now then, Neil Young is back with an album called Lenoise, which has been produced up in San Francisco, I think, by Daniel Lanois, who basically gave Neil Young free range with his box of tricks, and he produced a wonderful album. It's just a solo album, but it's not an acoustic thing by any means. There's all sorts of great guitar lines and distorted effects and all sorts of gubbins on there. This is a bit of a kind of rambling tune, but it's Peaceful Valley Boulevard.
Shots rang out in the peaceful valley. God was crying tears that fell like rain. Before the railroad came from Kansas City, and the bullets hit the bison from the train. First shots rang across the peaceful valley, and the white man laid his foot upon the plain. Dusty canyon, the settlers full of wonder as they cross. A gentle creek where two old oaks were standing. Before the west was won, there was a cost. Fire came down upon the wagons. A mother screamed, and every soul was lost. Ancient rivers soon began to boil. People rushed like water to California. At first they came for gold and then for oil. Fortunes were made and lost in Valley Boulevard. difference, read a billboard. Above a long line of idling cars, who'll be the one to lead this world? Who'll be the beacon in the night? Who'll be the one to lead this world? Who'll be the beacon in the night? Drifting on an ice floe, sun beating down from the sky, politicians gathered for a summit.
Well, that is unmistakably Neil Young and Peaceful Valley Boulevard from the new album called Lenoir. It's probably actually pronounced Lenoir, but Lenoise, which is out now on Warner Brothers. Now then, a free MP3 is available on the website of Josh Ritter, who is married to, well, recently married to Dawn Landers. So both great and very able singer-songwriters in their own right. And they've covered the old folk tune by Hedy West, which is called 500 Miles. I believe if you go on joshritter.com, it is a free download on there. Well worth having. This is it.
If you miss the train I'm on, you will know that I am gone. You can hear the whistle blow 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles, 100 miles. You can hear so blue, 100 miles. Lord, I'm one, Lord, I'm two, Lord, I'm three, Lord, I'm four, Lord, I'm 500 miles from my home. 500 miles, 500 miles, 500 miles. Lord, I'm 500 miles from my thank you.
Well, that was recorded in Dawn Landis' Brooklyn studio just before her and her husband, she and her husband, Josh Ritter, set off on their European tour, and it's called 500 Miles, which is the old Heady West folk tune, and it's just gorgeous. And it can be downloaded for free still if you get onto joshritter.com. Now, I'm aware we've kind of been lulled into a kind of acoustic phase. Nothing wrong with that. I just thought I'd go back to the 80s for a bit. Shocking false ending. That is Yellow and Angel No from the album Stella, which is out in 1985. Now, Vic Goddard coming up in the next hour. Before that, another old stager on top form. This is Robert Wyatt. Thank you.
in the misty night. Footsteps that you hear down the hall. The love that floats on a summer night that you can never quite recall. And you see Laura on the train that is passing through. Those eyes, how familiar they seem. She gave your very first kiss to you. That was Laura, but she's only a dream.
BBC Six Music on digital, online. BBC Six Music. Rob Hughes
on Six Music. Six Music.
Thank you.
from their final album from 1991. That is Talk Talk from the album Laughingstock, and that is Ascension Day. Just kind of wonderful, amazing to think that they started out in those little kind of neat box jackets playing pretty synth pop and supporting Duran Duran, and ended up into this great sprawling improvisational kind of Miles Davis type band. Of course, nobody was actually buying the records, which is a great shame, because it's a wonderful album, and they split up a year after. Now, Vic Gallo coming up very, very shortly, probably in the next 10 or 15 minutes. And now, a few nights ago, I went to see a band called Deer Tick, who had just finished doing a session in this room for Mark Riley. And they were absolutely stunning round the corner at the Deaf Institute. Although the singer, John McCauley, you kind of do worry for him a little bit. He tended to go missing quite a bit. He spent a lot of the evening on his knees, was drinking fairly heavily, and ended up climbing up on the balcony. Luckily, nothing untoward happened to him. And this is one of the tunes that he did. Well, it is Deer Tick and Choir of Angels from their album The Black Dirt Sessions, which is out now on Fargo. I forgot to mention before, very remiss of me, the Robert Wyatt tune that I played, called Laura, from the album he's recorded with Ross Stephen and Gilad Atzmon, called For the Ghosts Within, which is out shortly on Domino. Now then, Vic Goddard, legendary leader of Subway Sect, is coming up very shortly. This is A Blast from the Past from Vic.
Yeah. Mark Riley, Monday to Thursday night. Music. R is for
Rotten. Just wondering if you could find any Maggot Brain by Funkadelic to play as I'm trying to do my homework. No.
I is for
Ignorant. Is the answer either Gibby Haynes or Garth Hudson? Just before you ask a question.
I'm afraid not.
It's worth a try, wasn't it?
L is for
Lackluster. You're still there?
E is for
Egypt. I'm Mark Riley. I'm neither germ-free nor an adolescent.
Y is for
Yum. Fabulous. Everything live in session.
Ooh, I say.
That's a tune, isn't it?
Mark Riley. Back Monday from 7 p.m. on 6 Music. Rob Hughes.
On 6 Music. 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 Music.
Well, it's certainly not a bad album. The new Vic Goddard and the Subway Sect album is called We Come As Aliens, and from it, that is Best Album. And of course, before that, a real blast from the past, Subway Sect and Ambition. And hopefully, on the other end of the line, Vic, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good afternoon.
Great to talk to you. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, yep.
Have you up to anything particularly fascinating today?
I've just finished work, yep.
All right, okay.
Bit of a heavy day at work.
Right. Are you suitably relaxed now? Do you feel all right?
Yeah, I'm fine now.
Okay. I mean, We Come As Aliens is your first album for 8 years, isn't it? I know you obviously you've been gigging. I presume you've been writing and recording kind of in the interim as well, have you?
Well, I started about a couple of years ago on the album recording, but I've always done, I did a few demos with a band. I was the lineup that I had before that, but never really anything of releasable quality, really.
Okay. I mean, there's a certain kind of strand to this album, isn't there? It sounds very defiant in places, like the song Best Album, which, you know, says, you know, we're not going to leave until we're done and all that stuff. And there are songs as well, like Take Over, which you could probably interpret as something of a rallying cry. Is it? Is that how you kind of approached it?
Yeah, well, that was written in response to, like, the collapse of the banks when I wrote that, just on the spur of the moment, Take Over. But Best Album is... it's a bit of a joke song, really. It started out as a sort of like a K-Tell type thing where, you know, it's the best album in the world, volume 99 type idea.
Okay. Well, it works a treat. It's a very kind of broad and very upbeat album. And I know, obviously, you're a man of very broad styles anyway, but there's kind of Northern Soul in there and some French pop. In fact, you do a cover of Françoise Hardy, don't you, and R&B and all sorts of stuff. Was it a kind of long time coming together? I know you've had some of these songs in the live set for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, it's a long time coming together because I didn't have the band that I've got now, the Subway set that I've got now. Was, you know, just the lineup that I needed to do that sort of material, really, you know, with such a broad range, because before I was doing sort of really revisiting all the early Subway Sec punk stuff when I did 1978 now, and that was the sort of band I had. When I got this group together, I started thinking about, you know, broadening the horizons a bit.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you've got Paul Cook, for instance, on drums, haven't you?
Well, yeah, but that wasn't an intentional move. It's just that our drummer, Gary Ainge, had a bit of a back problem sort of after he'd recorded five of the tracks.
Right, okay.
And we'd already booked the studio and the rest of us were all raring to go and, you know, we just had to get someone else in at ASAP.
I see, and he was the nearest to hand, was he?
Well, luckily I rang him. I didn't know what he was up to, and he was luckily available.
Okay, am I right in saying that the album title itself, We Come As Aliens, sort of arrived in your head when you went to play the Winter Gardens in Blackpool one night? Can you just explain what that's about?
Well, we just felt really alien, like, as we walked in, because we looked like something that was coming from another planet, because there was quite a uniformity of style present there.
Right. Have you always felt that way? Yeah, I presume you kind of always felt a bit of an outsider. Even, you know, way back in the, you know, the days of the 100 Club, you weren't kind of typical punks, were you?
The thing in those days, everyone was an outsider, so it felt a bit, you know, it wasn't so bad. You know, there was lots of different little groups going to those gigs that were all really outsiders, whereas as the sort of the Sun and the Daily Mirror got hold of it, obviously that's when the conformity aspect crept into it.
So were you kind of conscious of not conforming, of standing out somehow?
Yeah, I mean, I've always gone out of my way to do that, really. It's just like character flaw.
Yeah, sure. And I love that, for example, you know, a lot of the bands were using, you know, Gibsons and Telecasters and what have you, and you used Fender Mustangs, didn't you? Because they had a certain sound, a kind of scratchy sound that wasn't like the rest of the pack, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I think my bass player and my guitarist used those just out of deference to Television and Talking Heads, to be honest. They just wanted the same guitars as the people in Talking Heads and Television. When I got my first bass, what I wanted, I actually got a Hofner bass. I wanted it to look like something off one of the old Eddie Cochran or Chuck Berry films from the 50s.
Yeah,
I got, like, for £24, fantastic Hofner bass from a junk shop in Fulham, and just really sad that I still haven't got it.
Did you kind of give it away? Did you lose it?
No, what I did, I swapped it for a six-string guitar. When I was writing songs in the punk era, I was finding it really difficult to do without playing an instrument. So I was, you know, really banging my head up against brick walls. So I thought, I've got to try and learn an instrument. And the instrument everyone picked up in the punk era was bass, because it had the least amount of strings. The idea of actually playing a chord was like an anathema to me, definitely. I mean, I was just able to string a few notes together, and that is the way I wrote the first songs, really.
Mm, yeah.
But actually, Sid Vicious was the man who first showed me my first three proper chords.
Oh, really?
Showed me how to play Chinese Rocks.
Oh, the Johnny Thunders tune.
That
okay.
was the first song that I was able to actually play chords and actually move from one chord to the other. But on that song, you don't really have to do it that quickly. It's not that difficult. But when I was listening to things like Bob Dylan, I was thinking, how the hell can he sing and do all those different chord changes at the same time?
Okay. Is it fair to say you were a kind of an unwilling front man? It wasn't something you really...
Yeah, no, I was actually the harmonica player when we started off, because we started off really as a sort of comedy band, mostly. We practiced in the local youth club in Mortlake, a place called The Annex. And we just used like waste paper baskets, things like that, for the drums. And it was only when Malcolm McLaren asked us to do the 100 Club that we just went out, got a taxi to Lewisham and got this 85 quid drum kit on HP.
Right.
On the understanding that we'd each put £1 a week out of our dole money into the kitty to pay it off.
Right.
But what we didn't realise was who was going to be the drummer. We just thought we'd all have a go at it and one of us would be able to do it.
I see.
And Paul Packham, who up to that point had been doing all the vocals because he was the sort of extrovert of the group. Like, he was doing sort of Elvis impersonations and he did Boy Named Sue, Johnny Cash. And we did... couple of Jimmy Reed songs, but not in the way Jimmy Reed did them, but in the way the Pretty Things did them, you know, i.e. a lot faster, like Big City and Big Boss Man. And yeah, I was on the waste paper basket and I could do a bit of wailing harmonica, and Paul Packham was a singer. But then when we got this drum kit, unfortunately he was the only one who was able to actually have any sort of rhythm on the drums, because he'd been in the Boy Scouts and
Right. Yeah,
he played the drum in the Boy Scouts, believe it or not. So that was how he sort of press ganged him into being the drummer.
I see. I mean, you obviously famously you played the Punk Festival, didn't you, with the Pistols and the Clash and the Damned.
Yeah.
Is there that must have been quite some event. Do you have happy memories of that? Was it a kind of scary moment?
Very scary, yeah, really scary. I mean, the thing is, for me, the way I got over it was the sound check was a lot more scary than the actual gig. So all the nerves I had sort of evaporated after doing the sound check. The audience was all the other groups, and we'd never sort of done anything before. And in the sound check, Steve Jones and Glenn Matlock were trying to tune our guitars for us. And because of the bass lines not being what they viewed as correct to go with what the guitarist was playing, they couldn't work out how to tune the guitar, because every time they tuned it up, we played, and they thought it was out of tune, and eventually it emerged that that was how the songs went.
Right, I see.
So they gave up in the end.
Yeah, sure. What's your kind of view about the... obviously, there's a big news that, in fact, there's a proposed closure of the 100 Club. What's your kind of view on that?
To be brutally honest, it means nothing to me. I'm not really into all this heritage venue rubbish.
Mm.
They can close it, because there's other gigs, you know, as long as there's other gigs coming up. Mm. I'm not really into nostalgia, like, for buildings in that sort of way, really. I've got memories of it, but if they turn it into, like, a burger bar, the memories will still be there anyway.
Yeah, sure, you still got those. There was that kind of move that you made kind of a bit later, a few years later, when you got into kind of swing music and you were doing kind of cabaret songs. Was that a kind of reaction, again, to the obviousness of what was going on around you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's it. I mean, we had a sort of group meeting about it, you know, about what to do, and we decided to sort of go for what we called razzmatazz, was the like the word we adopted.
Right, so that was your buzzword, was it?
Yeah.
Right.
And out of that, we thought, well, what is razzmatazz? It's like Frank Sinatra and all that sort of thing, Dean Martin and sort of like tuxedos.
So you kind of recruited some great jazz music, Pete Thomas's Junk and Jive, jazz musicians.
Phenomenal band to play with, that was.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, am I right in saying there's also a kind of recent project of yours, which was the Blackpool EP, which I think was a proposed musical that was sort of short-lived with Irvin Welsh. That's right.
Yeah, I'm still going to complete the album. That's in the pipeline to finish. I've got four tracks that you can buy off me at the old Vic Goddard MySpace, or you can email me and get, but that's only four. We've got another eight songs to do, but it's not going to be the next album I'm going to do, because it was done with the Bitter Springs, who's got their own things going, but we have come to an agreement, you know, in a couple of years' time to sort of seriously get together and finish it off.
Okay. Am I right in saying that Irvin Welsh kind of was so impressed by, you know, that the music you were making, you know, around the time of Trouble, that that's what got him kind of interested in you in the first place, and this is what kind of kick-started this whole project?
No, I don't know about that. I know he's like mad keen on Blackpool, though, because I remember one morning I was like just on my way to work at 5 o'clock, and he rang me up a bit drunk, and he was just singing it down the phone at me.
Okay. All right. Well, was it something? I mean, just tell us, give us a little flavour of the kind of reviews you got when you premiered this.
Oh, it was absolutely really good. I mean, really dire review, but really well written put downs, you know. And I'm not averse to bad reviews, you know, being a bit perverse. Mm. I don't mind getting good reviews, obviously, but I actually like getting bad reviews as well.
As long as they're well written.
Yeah, I mean, a put down can be more rewarding for me sometimes than, you know, a gushing tribute.
Okay, well, as long as they're eloquent.
I suppose it's coming from, like, having all the sort of things thrown at you and being gobbed at in 1976 and 77 that might have done that.
It's a little more sedate version of the same thing, then. Because I know Blackpool itself was supposed to be, the idea was to do something a bit kind of gaudy and a little bit kind of music hall and a little bit dirty as well, because it's kind of some kind of rude songs on there, to say the least, on the EP.
Yeah, I mean, it's not dissimilar to like what I've heard of Madness's latest album, you know, the Norton Folgate thing. I think that's superb. It's sort of in that vein, I'd say, but slightly smaller budget, by about 100 times.
Right, okay. But it's the same concept. And there's a concept piece about London, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. There's just one thing I want to say. Coming back to the new album, which is, you know, We Come As Aliens, is there's some very kind of autobiographical songs on here that you wouldn't normally find on an album of yours, like things like Nair, and also kind of music of a werewolf and stuff. Are you kind of putting your soul into this in some respect?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not saying I haven't done that before, though. I mean, I've done that a bit on Sands End.
Yeah, sure.
On, like, one section of it. Anyway, yeah, I mean, just in response to a lot of questions I get on the internet on, you know, what is my method of songwriting? I think that was why I wrote Music of a Werewolf, to try and explain that it is like a sort of werewolf idea whereby, you know, I'm not actually sitting down writing them, they're sort of writing me in a way.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. One of my favourite things on there, which is probably less autobiographical, but it's a killer tune, is That Train. Is that something you've had for a while?
Yeah, we've been doing that for probably like a bit since about 1998 live with various different lineups. You know, Bitter Springs I started doing it with, and then next band I had, we did it, so it's really sort of, with this band, it's a slightly more sophisticated, you know, it was a bit more scratchy Lonnie Donegan-y before, but now it's like the gospel edge that we've sort of put into it, and Kevin's piano playing is really magical on that track.
Yeah, it's wonderful. We're going to play it now, so I just want to say thank you so much for the chat, Vic. Really lovely to talk to you. And so the album is We Come As Aliens, which is out on Overground Records on the 11th of October, and it is really great stuff. So thanks again, and we're going to play That Train.
Somebody shake and wake me up, get dressed, I'm going to take me down that train station. That train is gonna change me. That train is gonna save me. That train is gonna change me. That train never comes. That train is gonna change ya. That train is gonna save ya. That train never comes. That train never comes. That train never comes. We had our own little taxi. We did our own damn track. The train never comes. I'm gonna take me down Old Lake Station. That train is gonna change me. That train is gonna save me. That train.
Six Music.
Miles of avenues, buildings of blocks, window reflections and mirrors, compass morality, blueprints of thought. Who'll be the one to delight you? The positive one to invite you. Sight to be riot, despite of it all, is there room at your table to move? There's architecture in the way you care, with the form of a dream, but reality's ghost still there. Touch my personal shadow, was just like any piece of light, but need more. Spires of grandeur design, armchair psychology, end of the rope, rapidly learning to climb as the new elevations remind.
will be the one to release you, the fortunate one to increase you. Share the surprises and ring in the rises and drink to the probable you. There's architecture in the way you breathe, with the seed of a birth, but reality won't conceive. All the personal Titanic's just like any ship at bay, testing litmus every Christmas, slowly shaped along the way, slowly shaped.
From their first album in 5 years, that is The Posies and Accidental Architecture. I have to say, when I first heard that, it reminded me very much of Van Dyke Parks. The album is called Blood Candy, which is out at the end of October, and is really wonderful, probably as great as anything they've done before. Now then, lovely talking to the very wonderful Vic Goddard just now, and he did mention television, how the early guitar sound of Subway Sex was trying to approximate that of television. Just happened to have this in the bag.
Thank you. million reasons to listen to Sean Keaveney.
Great reasons to wake up with me.
Number 668.
I'll always tackle the big problems and issues of today's society. All I do is clean the rubbish, and then I have to take it outside and work out where does that little bit of cellophane go. I have become the bin man. Great reasons to wake up with me.
Number 819.
Where else can you hear the best new music and the band you love?
Absolutely awesome. That's why you listen to Six Music.
Music.
Great reasons to wake up with me.
Number 103,847.
I love words and that. Despite the fact that it was dilapidated, Lisa.
The Sean Keaveney Breakfast Show.
It was dilapidated. It was
Weekday mornings from 7.
Who needs a million reasons to listen?
On BBC Six Music. Rob Hughes.
Six Music. Six Music. Music. Music.
I can't get the sand out of my shoe. Being in Florida's done a number on my blues. Just the way the women walk around here. Well, it's plain to see the way the sand and sea have done a number on me. And the sky is threatening black and gray, and the sun's a festering red. And her head is claiming her stats, she ain't yet risen from bed. Saw breakfast again, delayed, postponed, I won't be fed. The surf has swallowed him up, he's a memory now. And the water's warmer than it has been in weeks. And Grandma lives just down the road. She's making supper for me tonight. She's been nice to me since 73, when her son lost his light. And now his ghost is a rising host above the briny blur. Well, I would that soon some maid would swoon and his soul would capture her. He's still a fine kid, but with all that he did, he's a fan of mine. Planning to spend so long in town, but the break in the weather has got the partner down. She won't get out, she's shotgun, seems she's sewn to the sea. It's a dirty trick that she's yet to lick, and I have yet to be. But you can see it in her eyes, she was born unwise, she was born for me. If she mourns too long, I'll know something's wrong, and I will leave her be. You could see by shoes, he was born to lose, he was also born for.
The unmistakable Bonnie Prince Billy and West Palm Beach from Bonnie Prince Billy Sings Greatest Palace Music. Oh, from my signed copy as well. Fantastic. Now then, back to the archive. At the request of Steve Diggle of Buzzcocks, the very first Peel session Buzzcocks ever did in September 1977. And this is the classic What Do I Get? As requested by Steve Diggle of Buzzcocks, that is What Do I Get from their first Peel session in September 1977. And Steve Diggle's new album called Air Conditioning, is out on his own 330 Records on the 1st of November. Now then, from a great album by Maps and Atlases called Perch Patchwork, this is The Charm.
I don't think there is a sound that I hate more than the sound of your voice. You say that you don't love me anymore. And I don't think there is a sound that I hate more than the sound of your voice. You say that you don't love me. But I saw you fall in love with no heads up. And I saw you fall in love with no heads up. And after all, you felt so small in his arms. You felt that warm your heart.
Well, it's a wonderful tune from a wonderful album. That's Maps and Atlases and The Charm from the album out now on Fat Cat Records, Perch Patchwork. Well, that's me done. Thank you so much for having me. And also like to say thanks to Perfect Peter, to Jess, to producer Michelle, to Owain, and also, of course, to Steve Duggal, and, of course, to Vic Goddard. Don Letts is coming up next. And next week, fingers crossed, I think John Cooper Clarke is due to be presenting this show. So I look forward to that very, very much. Obviously, I'm going to play out with Whispering Bob. Ta-ta.
All the tired horses in the sun, how am I supposed to get any riding done? All the tired horses in the sun, how am I supposed to get any riding done? Supposed to get any riding done. Mm-hmm. All the tired horses in the sun, how am I supposed to get any riding done? Supposed to get it.